Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome in to another edition of the Jamie Sports News Podcast. I'm Bennett Conlon, joined by Jack Fitzpatrick. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's a great day to be a JMU Duke. It's a great day to be, you know, alive. I almost accidentally said the wrong team because I'm in Queens mode. Just got back from the Queens Coaches Show presented by Ortho Carolina. And I'd been saying Royals a lot. So I almost just said it's a great day to be a Royal. That would have been awkward.
Could be, right? It could be a great day to be a Duke, great day to be a Royal too.
Yeah, sure. How are you doing? I feel like you always ask me. I never ask you.
Yeah, we're thriving right now. Transfer portal season's hard. Going through the ebbs and the flows emotionally.
Yeah.
When you nickname a player before other people even know who he is and then he enters the portal, it's a bit of a gut punch.
How are we feeling? The deep end, Bennett Conlon, yeah. The lifeguard is no longer on duty in the deep end.
I think I'm going to make an account, yeah. Like a burner account for whichever program D'Angelo Pons transfers to. And I'm going to be getting in mentions with the deep end nickname to see if I can get it to.
Oh, I like that idea. Yeah. I like that idea a lot. I think you should also just like go on and spout deep end trivia. So like, did you know he's a freshman All-American? Did you know that he had 15 pass breakups in his first year in the Harvard of the South? And then like, if someone's like, man, what a bad busted coverage from D'Angelo. You could be like, no.
I'll have to search his name on like Saturdays in the fall and be like, that's on the safety, like not watching the games.
Like, clearly you didn't know the coverage assignment of the linebacker there. He was supposed to take the shallow flat and D'Angelo had no point in that.
Yet another example though, I think On Three gave him like a 95 4-star rating in the portal. He's like the number two corner during this cycle. Just another example of like, sometimes it's hard to realize when they're at JMU how good some of these players are, like Antoine Wells.
Yeah.
Just studs.
Yeah. Well, I think we knew how good they were, but like, it is why I think it's more, for me at least, it's like, I knew D'Angelo Pons was good. I knew Antoine Wells was good. Some of these other guys, Jalen Walker, Aiden Fisher, like, you know, they're good, but then to see it quantified, like, oh, they are like one of the top 10 corners in the entire nation. And it's like, oh, he was playing our what was he, boundary corner? So he was technically corner two on our team last year. Oh.
Yeah, oh, Antoine Wells is going to be a starting receiver at Ole Miss, which is like a top 15 team, like in the SEC. And then Aiden Fisher, I guess, is just thriving at Indiana in the spring game. So he's going to be a starting linebacker in the Big Ten. Like, that's some interesting context. The Dukes have had some crazy talent.
And we'll get into kind of, I think we'll have a little bit of a rant, a talk it out, rationalize it all about the transfer portal, what it means. Something I found that was really interesting was just the NFL prospects. We always talk about that in the case of Antoine Wells, Aiden Fisher, these guys going to other schools with bigger budgets, better facilities, and more eyeballs on them, that this is to help their NFL draft stock. It was kind of very stark how much it does actually help. But we'll get into that later in the episode. Starting things off, we just want to let you guys know that BetOnline is your number one source for all of your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow for your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today, BetOnline. The website for Bet Online, or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. I guess they ended the promo code, huh? Used to be promo code Believe, and that is still going around the bottom ticker.
Who cares? We'll roll with it. You plug it in. If it works, it works. If it doesn't,
I just took it out. Sign up for Bet Online. Very generic. Maybe I should have Bet Online, where the game starts. Bet Online, where the game starts. JMU Sports News Podcast, where the podcast starts. I think we can just quickly hit. Matt Roan was introduced the other day as the new athletic director, replacing Jeff Bourne. Seems to be a good hire. He's coming from Eastern Kentucky. Actually, right when the hire was announced, or around the time the hire was announced, I was driving to Louisville from Charlotte and drove right through Eastern Kentucky's campus. And I said, Roan, you're coming with me.
That's right. You picked him up and you drove him back. And he was like, can I take my family? And you're like, they'll figure it out.
I was like, I only have a Honda CRV. Only three extra people can fit.
Right. So his wife and then one of the kids. And then they had to figure it out. But they're all there now. They have an athletic director. That's good. He seems like he's got a decent background. This one's a lot harder, I feel like, to quantify than like a football coach. Where it's like, there's a win-loss record. They don't have that as an athletic director. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think it's going to be really interesting because he comes at a rather important time in terms of what's going to happen in college athletics, right? Is there going to be a super league for football? Is JMU going to be included? Would there be relegation that the Dukes are in? Are they going to FCS 2.0? Who knows?
Where does he see JMU slotting into that? Because as it all, like Jeff Bourne, we all had a kind of a good idea that he probably would want JMU in that super league. Matt Roan, on the other hand, does he want JMU in that super league? Does he have maybe different visions? I imagine he probably does, since Jeff Bourne was slightly in on the process. And it seems like there's kind of a united front in what JMU wants their athletic department to be. But it's a new guy. You don't really know exactly what his thought process is. But comes from Eastern Kentucky. He'll take over for Jeff Bourne. And then into the meat of it all. Today's episode is titled, I don't know if you saw this, Bennett, The Portal Giveth and the Portal Taketh. We're going to start on the Portal Taketh. Excuse me. That was supposed to be a really good intro. The Portal Giveth is how we're starting. I messed that up. Damn it. So rewind. So Bennett, today's title is The Portal Giveth and the Portal Taketh. We're going to start today's podcast on The Portal Giveth. Preston, thank you for acting like that was the first time you heard it. Preston Spradlin's having himself a masterclass in the portal.
Portal Hall.
Portal Hall. Can I just go over it with you?
Yeah, it's a lot of guys.
So far, Xavier Brown, he's coming back. Laughing about? Pizza's ready. I'm going to hit you this, and then we're going to go solo cam on you as I get this pizza out of the oven. Ricks comes from Morehead State. Eddie Ricks, 6'7". Justin Taylor comes from Syracuse, 6'6". AJ Smith, 6'6". Ebenezer Dewana, 6'11". Elijah Hutchins Everett, 6'11". Both of those guys, P5 transfers. Mm-hmm. Luke Anderson, a D2 transfer, who's over a 40%.
Shooter!
Luke Anderson, 6'7". He comes in. The portal has giveth, man, for Preston Spradlin and the Dukes.
I got to reach back out to these guys who I was trying to connect with and initially talked to a couple of them and didn't end up getting them. So hopefully we'll get some interviews here for the podcast. But Luke Anderson, you mentioned him, played at Iowa State, South Florida, then went to the D2 ranks and averaged like 20 a game on 40% shooting from three. 6'7", 225, he's a big dude. I think that's kind of what stands out for everybody of the six players. Of the guys they've added, they're all at least 6'6". I believe they're all over 200 pounds, or I think Ricks is close to it maybe, but I think he's over. So they're bigger than they've been. Byington had some kind of slender guys. Terrence Edwards kind of included. But these guys are big. Like, there are a lot of 6'6", 6'7", 220. And then you had 2 7-footers.
Hey, 6'11".
I'm rounding up. 2 7-footers who can play. JMU's had 7-footers in the past, but they're usually like walk-ons or a guy, Joel Mensah. These guys have played like legit minutes for quality teams.
It's insane. The size, you mentioned it. I didn't hear your whole thing, but the size is just insane. We got so accustomed. We have a group chat with our friend Brian, and it's been labeled every offseason, Dukes need a big. And let me see what the group chat's labeled now, because after everything Preston Spradlin did, I think you changed it. Dukes are big.
Yeah.
It's confirmed. The Dukes are big. Everyone they've brought in would have been one of the tallest players on any team under Mark Byington. Like, that's insane to me. The shortest guy they brought in was 6'6". When Mark Byington brought in a 6'6 guy, you're like, that's the four. They bring in a 6'6 guy now, you're like, that might be the two.
Yeah. There's also a lot of proven guys. So they had AJ Smith on the wing, who was averaging almost 14 points a game last year, almost 9 rebounds a game.
Where did he come from? Southern Indiana.
Southern Indiana. So lower, I think it's OVC. So he still played against he played against Spradlin, so they know his game. That's relatively low competition, but like Justin Taylor was starting at Syracuse. Pretty cool. Eddie Ricks was a pretty important player, led Morehead State in blocks. He's played a lot. Then you have like the rotational bigs, but Hutchins Everett started and was a key contributor for Austin Peay before going to Seton Hall and can actually kind of shoot the three as well. And then Luke Anderson.
I think he's my favorite. He's my favorite pickup.
He might be the best. He also had a video on his Instagram that was like a minute long, kind of talking about his basketball story. And maybe it's like 90 seconds, but he was talking about how he kind of like fell out of love with the game when he was at his two.
Iowa State and UCF, right?
USF. Yeah.
USF.
So he was at those two. He was highly recruited. His offers out of high school were nuts. I mean, he was like Florida State. I like a bunch of Power Fives were looking at him. So he kind of fell out of love. He said he wasn't working hard enough. Started working a lot harder, changed his game. He has an array of moves. He can shoot and he's large. Like he loves basketball.
He's a 6'7" shooter. He shot 40% from three.
It's just a crazy add. I mean, they pretty much added a group that like those six, and then you add a point guard, and that's like a starting, that's a good seven.
So they still have five scholarships left. And I just got to say, Mark Freeman, he's still out there.
Decision soon, he said on social media on the 27th of April. So it's been a few days. I thought he would have announced by now.
I thought he meant like tomorrow.
So did I.
So we'll see. JMU's been in contact with him. It seems that Mark Freeman, I mean, the transfer portal is now closed, so no one can enter. So Mark Freeman may have been just waiting out, see what bags he may have gotten, because he's been in contact with some P5, some American Athletic Conference, namely Memphis has been linked to him heavily, but there's potential that he may go big. But I mean, there's still a gaping point guard size hole for this team. Xavier Brown's going to fill it, but you need two of them. You can't just rely on one guy in Xavier Brown. You need two of them. And depending on how this all shakes out, Xavier Brown might play some of the two. Who knows? All I know is there's still a spot left for a contributing scoring point guard. And it is a little head scratching to me that Mark Freeman, who's still out there, hasn't announced anything, and Preston Spradlin hasn't gotten a point guard in there, because he undersold and overdelivered. His recruiting ability in the transfer portal is absolutely amazing. And so I think maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe this is too much galaxy brain, but it's insane to me that they haven't gotten a point guard to go alongside Xavier Brown, and Mark Freeman is still out there.
I think he's definitely waiting on that one. I know he visited Wisconsin, but I think Wisconsin added some, they've added a few guys this week, and we're looking at some guards. I think the same thing was true of Memphis. I was talking to Daniel Merriman last week off the podcast, and he had mentioned, I think, to us that Memphis added some like point guard, and I don't know that he would necessarily fit anymore. And he's from Memphis, I believe. So that was sort of one that was worrisome. He knows Spradlin. It's also cool because you read some articles about him. It's like, yeah, he's looking at Auburn, Memphis, Wisconsin, James Madison. It's like, that's cool. Being that list is really fun.
And I think the whole reason they're still on that list is Preston Spradlin is a recruiting madman. Because
he's killing it.
We'll talk about it later. The NIL isn't for bringing kids in. And those other schools he's going up against are giving him a bag if he decides to go there. Jamie's not.
No, and they don't have much. Like, if they wanted to, they don't really have bags. Like, it would just be like little pouches, maybe. But they don't have much. An NIL pouch. That's what Jamie needs to start doing. They need to start getting people to donate $5,000 and be like, "You just gave us an NIL pouch."
Thank you. That's actually not a bad idea. You know how cool it would be for the NIL? You get a pouch, and you can say, "My pouch brought in Mark Freeman."
That would be sick.
Like, you could see exactly which player you brought in.
Yeah, I want some more of that. But if they get Freeman, it would be obviously massive, right? Because you're looking at teams like Wisconsin and Memphis and Auburn who wanted him.
Well, it's also insane to me that even if they don't add Mark Freeman, even if they don't add like a high-end point guard,
yeah,
I assume they're going to run something out that looks like Xavier Brown with Taylor, maybe Eddie Ricks, Luke Anderson, probably Luke Anderson over Ricks at the three maybe. And then you got Ebenezer, Dewana, Elijah Hutchins, Everett, and you got Jarrell Roberson on the bench there too. Roberson probably be a really good depth piece if he can continue his growth. But you're looking at a lineup that boasts Xavier Brown, Justin Taylor, Luke Anderson, AJ Smith and let's say Elijah Hutchins Everett as your starting five. Shortest guy there is Xavier Brown, your point guard. You got Luke Anderson, a 40% shooter from three, who's a 6'7 skillful scorer. You have AJ Smith, a 6'6 guy that in the OVC a year ago, a similar league to the Sun Belt, is dropping 14 a game. That's a Sun Belt Conference championship winning five. And then on the bench, oh, by the way, you have Eddie Ricks, Joel Roberson, Ebenezer Dewana.
It's a nice group with a lot of scholarships to work with.
So, and you got five Scholies left.
It's very exciting what Spradlin has done with this group. They look like they're absolutely loaded. And then also, I don't think Horton and Amadi have announced yet. I wouldn't expect them to come back, but you gotta think it's like, hey, you would probably be in the rotation.
Do you think Amadi would be?
I think Amadi could be at the four.
Yeah, he's springy and he's a very athletic four that could give some belt defenses some issues. Yeah.
Because he can defend. They both can defend. I think that's what's interesting is like Spradlin's got the pitch. It's like, you know, you can defend. That's what we're trying to do. So if you want to come, like, we're stacked. You can see the portal hall. Like, we're going to be good. You wouldn't have to change anything. You're right, living in the same town, playing at the same arena. So it'd be interesting if they keep one or both of those guys. But even if they don't really add more, like you were saying, should still kind of be competing for the Sun Belt title, which is sweet.
I mean, if you don't add anything more, you're sitting there with what? 7-8 guys in a rotation. And that's about what you're playing for the most of the season.
Right. And then you would fill out the scholarship. So then you're adding either freshmen or transfers. And there's freshmen coming in that like, oh, maybe they're good enough to contribute. We don't know.
Can I tell you a crazy thing about this transfer portal class? And you can't get too attached to these kids because they have one good year, they'll bounce.
Yeah.
Who knows? But thinking, you know, in maybe last year brain or 2 years ago brain, Eddie Ricks still has 3 years of eligibility. Justin Taylor has 2 years of eligibility. AJ Smith has 2 years of eligibility. A lot of times with the Mark Byington era, he'd be bringing in one and dones, which worked out for him. Clearly, he won the Sun Belt Championship one against Wisconsin. But like, this is a team that has the potential to really build some connectivity, some cohesiveness, some synergy. If they're able to keep them, maybe the collective, maybe there's a vast change on the horizon with the NCAA. Who knows what's happening? But that's crazy to me that three of the six have multiple years of eligibility.
They've got a chance to be really good. I'm excited about what they're building. I think the other thing is like, they've got a chance to be so balanced. I think what's kind of interesting is like Amadi was obviously injured, but Horton was really good. But because JMU was so deep and balanced this year, I feel like he's probably not getting the looks that he could.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of what he did was like really good defense and wasn't like a focal point in the offense or anything like that, where you're going to have guys on this roster that play very, very well. And like, because there's so many good players on the roster, they might end up staying just because they're going to have to split points and defense and minutes. So if they can find a way to gel and play unselfishly, which I think the team this past year was really good at, that's a nice group.
All right, Bennett. So you know how the title of today's podcast is The Portal Giveth and The Portal Taketh? We're keeping on The Portal Giveth. Because women's basketball head coach, Coach Sean O'Regan, he's bolstering the roster. They lost Chloe Sterling and Steph Oedekerk to transfers. They lost Heaven Bristow and Carol Miller to graduation. They keep a huge core of that roster, which is massive. But they also lost coaches Neil Harrow and Lexi Barrier. Mm-hmm. However, what would you say was the number one issue for JMU women's basketball this past year, Bennett?
Probably turnovers, the backcourt, ball handling.
Wow, we didn't even talk about this pre-pod. You know who they added in the transfer portal? A guard.
Hey, three guards. We absolutely love to see that.
Rose Scott, a guard from Marshall. She led the Thundering Herd in scoring in 2022-2023. Didn't really play a lot this last year, but should be a good piece. Zakiah Stevenson, a Ole Miss transfer. Bree Robinson, a Michigan State transfer. Two P5 bench players, but I mean, Coach O, you saw the impact that Caroline Germain's absence put on this team. I think Coach O saw that. He addressed it in the portal, and he's getting some guards. Hopefully one of them can step up and play that role that Germain played.
Yeah, you've got two really young Power 5 transfers with a ton of ability, and then sort of the more proven scorer in Roe Scott from Marshall. Super nice group, right? And then you return a lot, right? Hazel, McDaniel, Kozlova. There are a lot of really important pieces coming back. And the one thing, I mean, like, they played Marshall in overtime in the Sun Belt Championship and turned the ball over 40 times. I think it was 39. But turned the ball over 40 times.
I thought it was 50.
They almost beat them with a just disgusting amount of turnovers. If you can limit those, Kim Caldwell went to Tennessee because
she's a
beast.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God, that was brutal. There's not going to be a team, I don't think, that's like dominant next year, unless it's JMU. It feels like for both teams, the men and the women, again, going into next year, they both have a very legitimate chance to make the NCAA tournament. But yeah, they got to figure out the turnover thing. I think two uber talented Power 5 transfers at guard and then a really good score from a mid-major is a good way to start.
I agree wholeheartedly. All right, so Bennett, you know how it's the portal giveth and the portal taketh.
Oh no.
Before we get to the portal taketh, let's quickly talk about some JMU football players to watch coming out of the spring game. This is my own selfish thing. I was out last week. Daniel Merriman filled in. He did a better job than what either one of me or you could have done.
Yeah, he does better than all of us. We should just leave and let him do solo pods.
I think it might pull in more listens than us. He probably knows who Chuck Winecki is. That's true. Some players post spring game to watch, names coming out. Mainly Dylan Williams.
Ooh, dog.
Dude is getting so much publicity.
He's got some game for a freshman.
He might be the reason Nakai Poole transferred away.
Yeah, wide receiver room looks sneaky good. Cam Ross, I think there was some positive stuff from the UConn transfer. Looked like there was an Old Dominion transfer who's maybe coming in. That seems to not even be a thing anymore. Maybe he saw Dylan Williams stories and was like, ah.
I'm not getting PT. Omarion Dollison. Very smart of them not to deploy him too much.
Yeah,
Don't give anyone film.
Similar to what Cignetti did last year, which was also hilarious that he touched the ball like four times. There's like two touchdowns and two first downs.
I really think they are idiotic if they do not get Dollison at least two touches a game.
So fast.
That's my thing.
Hopefully they get him involved.
Solomon Van Horst has been like our guy for the last like 4 years.
I'm pretty bummed.
If you just get Van Horst, we'll talk about the portal take. If it's coming, don't. But Van Horst was our guy, right? Van Horst was, if we just get him touches, good things will come for the offense. It's now become Omarion Dollison.
Okay, that's fair. He's our guy. He's our podcast guy. He's been your guy for a little bit now.
He has been my guy. He's my breakout guy to watch during the off season, now during the off season. Keep an eye on him. He didn't really make a lot of waves in the spring game. Another guy to watch, Dylan Morris. I just want to go on record as many times as I possibly can say. He's the starter. He's QB1. If he plays halfway as good as we expect him to play, he's going to win Sun Belt Player of the Year.
He's going to be good. Taji Hudson was getting some good reviews too.
Taji Hudson, the quarterback turned wide receiver who can also throw.
They had him throwing a lot in the spring game. A couple completions or at least one. So they got, I don't know. I like what they've got there. I don't think they need a ton of portal help.
I agree. Young secondary Chase Regan is a name to really monitor. The freshman could potentially vie for that second safety spot alongside Jacob Thomas. KJ Flo is also battling for that spot.
Yeah, I think if either of those guys are a starter, I'm just going to have to mute our chat with Ben on game days because the victory laps he'll be taking whenever they make a play. He has been on Chase for a long time. If they somehow use Chase two-way, like if he's
returning
or taking a jet sweep,
I'm blocking Ben.
Pulling out my window.
I'm blocking Ben. I'm blocking Duke's recruits. He's not. I'm never seeing him. But those are two names to really monitor. In the backfield, Evan Spivey is another guy that made a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. The reason we're focusing on the secondary so much, though, is because the portal taketh. The portal giveth, but the portal, man, it taketh. And it tooketh D'Angelo Pons.
My boy, man.
How'd you feel when you saw that news?
I was pretty sad, mostly because they had made it through the initial Cignetti wave. with keeping him. And it was like,
and entered the portal. Chauncey Logan entered the portal. Right. D'Angelo never entered the portal.
It was like, wow, I love that guy. And that my expectation in my head was legit that they would get him for his sophomore season and then he would leave. I was not like, oh, he's going to spend 4 years in Harrisonburg. He's very good. But I thought he was like,
yeah. He's no Quinyon Mitchell. You know, that's where real loyalty lies.
That's right. Quinyon's the guy, even though Alabama, I guess, wanted him. Yeah. We tried so hard to get him and he just. But no, it's stinks to lose Pons. It's a bummer. He's a stud. He's going to go ball out at a P5. I know a lot of people are hinting at Indiana. Maybe he goes to Indiana. He's going to get looks and offers from schools that are way more intriguing and better.
He's not going to Indiana. He's not going to Indiana.
He'll probably get bags that are bigger than Indiana too.
I expect Indiana. A high-end Big Ten or SEC school.
Would surprised, disappointed if he picks Indiana? Maybe a little.
I would be disappointed and surprised, like genuinely.
If he goes to Indiana, he's like a starter. I mean, he's good enough to start at like higher level.
Yeah, and I mean, Ole Miss has the JMU connection, and I know that's not really a real thing, but like. Antoine Wells is there after a brief stint at South Carolina.
Yeah.
But Isaac Ukwu went there too. So there's some sort of familiarity. Ukwu never fully played with Pons. Ukwu was with the team for some of spring practice a year ago, and D'Angelo Pons was just I don't even know if D'Angelo Pons was an early enrollee. So he may not have.
I think he might have been. Whatever he was, whenever he got there, he was cooking. I can't remember if it was spring or something else. But
okay. So if he was an early enrollee, he may have had like a month of practice with Ukwu. So maybe Ukwu.
And they were holding Ukwu out of like. Most actual game stuff. They probably weren't even like on the field together, but there probably some connections there. He's going to get, I don't know. He's going to get SEC offers, right?
He's going to get looks. He's going to get offers. He's being real quiet on Twitter right now, but man, it was a life of a G5 sucks.
It really does. It's tough. It's getting tough.
Like, can I just vent to you for a second? Can I just kind of rant? What's the point of a collective? Like, it's retention based. We haven't retained anyone. We lost over 75%. And I keep saying I try not to. We call ourselves fanalists or whatever that is. I sometimes try to take off the JMU hat. This is full purple colored glasses. This is full JMU hat. It's Wheeze. It's everything. We have this collective, man, and it's retention based. And I respect that. That's a good way to do it when you don't have a lot of money. We lost our entire two deep. What retention is there? And I get, and I tweeted this, I get the answer is, well, you got to donate more. Why is it falling on me? And this isn't necessarily an attack on the Montpelier collective, more so attack on the collectives as a whole. Why does it fall on me as a G5 fan to support what these student athletes deserve? I'm not making the $1 billion that the $1 billion industry of the NCAA and college athletics is. That's college athletics. Why is it falling on me? It feels like there's never going to be an answer in the current landscape that we have, and that there's never going to be an ability for us as G5 fans, as a G5 team, to compete. It's just so bothersome. And again, I'm not upset at the players. Go get your money. Go get your bag. Get paid for putting your life on the line every single Saturday. Go get as much money as you can, because this game can end in one play. Like, go do what you need to do. It just NIL was designed so players could go to the local car dealership and be the face of the local car dealership. NIL was designed so you could be, I love cookie skillets from O'Neill's Grill. Eat at O'Neill's. I'm D'Angelo Pons. Like, that's what NIL, in my opinion, was designed for. It has now turned into a pay-for-play setup that the fans are supporting. It's just so annoying. And there's no answer, because JMU doesn't have the boosters. Our collective doesn't have the necessary funds to retain these players when they're going up against actual teams. Kurt Cignetti went and he has a whole war chest now at Indiana with the Hoosiers.
At Indiana? Of course.
Yeah. I don't know if that was sarcastic or not, but like, Indiana, a historical doormat,
right,
has millions of dollars in money to go poach players, and poaching they are.
If you want to donate to the collective, donate to the collective. I'm never going to yell and tell people to donate to the collective. I think your donations will be better off just to the university's athletic department. That's also the Virginia law is like going to change it so that you can kind of do that. That's sort of the way things are going. And I think the collective has built themselves that way. But JMU's collective, like no matter how much any fan donates, is never going to be able to compete with the Power Five, especially not in the short term. Like they're nowhere close to competing with the Power Five. So it's like, oh, you don't like Ponds leaving? Donate more is a crazy thing to tell fans because they're not even close. Like on Ukwu, I don't even know that the collective like countered.
They can't.
Right. There's no like, so
I
that's
mean, I imagine, yeah. And maybe I'm, and sorry to cut you off. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic. I feel like the collective doesn't have more than $10,000 to give to a specific player.
I don't know. I mean, like they did that. I think I bookmarked it. They did the, Chesney was hired. They tried to raise $150,000. Let's see if I did bookmark it.
Boom, boom.
Yes.
Boom.
Here we go. Okay. So they, I think the page is updated. So the goal was to raise $150,000 for the welcome Coach Chesney to JMU football. It's at 62 grand.
Okay. Better than nothing, but that's
better than nothing. Good stuff. But like,
that's going to Ponds.
Ponds that, is making more than 62 grand. like you do a whole campaign and you're getting an amount that's not even going to keep your starting corner. So that's when I'm like, if you have $5,000, would I give it to the collective? No. And again, that's nothing against the collective. I don't think JMU is collective. I don't think there's anything anyone with the collective could do.
I think G5 in general, a G5 yes. collective.
I don't think there's anything you could do to compete with a Power Five collective. And I feel like sometimes JMU fans miss this where they're like, keep donating to the collective, keep donating to the collective because we want to compete with, you know, Indiana. It's like, we don't have a Mark Cuban. So that doesn't seem like a realistic immediate thing. I think you should just like, I don't know, if you want to donate to the athletic department, do that. If you want to donate to the collective and it goes to some guys, maybe it retains like a role player or whatever. Great. That's fine. Do your thing. But I think a lot of it is just like enjoy what you can. And then you have to find coaches and assistant coaches who can recruit that lower level talent that wants to come up, but it's not good enough to go straight to the P5 and get them and develop them, which JMU coaches have done a phenomenal job of. And if they can keep doing that, they're going to be competitive nationally. You can be a top 25 caliber team. You're probably not beating like top tier Michigan or Alabama or Ohio State, but you can beat most teams outside of those like 5 to 10. And that's pretty cool.
And this leads me to the portal taketh again with Tyreek Tucker.
Yeah.
He entered the portal right around the time of the spring game. I believe the day before or the day after.
Yeah, it was right around the spring game.
Right around the spring game. He entered, and there was some fallout from it. He announced, specifically the fallout came from him announcing that he's going to Indiana following Kurt Cignetti. I just really take issue, and this has ruffled some feathers in the past. I really take issue with, like, shots at student-athletes. And people argue with it, well, they're paid now. They should be treated as such. They're adults now. Like, all of this stuff. Sure. But I feel like you can still have some sense of like normalcy. You can be a normal human about it. You don't have to tweet weird gifs about a guy choosing to go to Indiana after his mother passed away. That's the biggest thing. Like, also, to act like Power Fives are somehow equal to JMU is insane. The facilities, the care, the food, the access to just accelerated learning, but like the access to tutors, the access to mental health professionals, which is probably important in this time for Tyreek Tucker specifically. But like, P5s are so much greater than group of five school. And like, to act like that isn't the case, even if it is Indiana's facilities are probably a lot better than the APC and what JMU has. And JMU has top of the tier group of five facilities.
It's so different. Like, I covered UVA for a couple of years and their facilities compared to their ACC peers are trash. And they're still like better than JMU's. Like they've got nice facilities. They have access to a lot of different people, performance people. Like the nutrition access they had was incredible. The dining hall just for athletes they had was really incredible and nice. I mean, they're like naming special salads after like Joe Reed returning kickoffs for touchdown. They're like Joe Reed Caesar salad today, and like doing all this special stuff because he like loves Caesar salad and making it exactly how he likes. Probably not happening when Pons like recovers a block punt for a touchdown at UVA. I don't know if there's like some special deep end meal for him.
Buffalo mash that week. Buffalo mash. Deep end mash.
It's for everybody. But the access to like things at Power Fives is pretty cool. They've got great resources. JMU has a great thing going, but I don't know. I feel like sometimes JMU fans get a little bit too offended, especially because the portal does give back. Like JMU's going to field the good roster next year. They're going to get a corner in the portal.
That's why it's the portal giveth and the portal taketh. It does take, but also JMU, they got Terrence Spence from Holy Cross. Yeah. They're going to get a veteran coach. They've offered like five of them.
I also don't love the stuff where people are like, oh, Cignetti's tampering. And then I saw some other people. This one is crazy.
Every coach is tampering. Go ahead.
But then the tampering for like, oh, he tampered with Tyreek Tucker. Like, oh, he reached out to Tyreek Tucker after his mom died and he thought that maybe he wanted to, like, how is that bad? Like, he wants to go play for his old coaches who he knows well at a bigger school, like you said, that has more resources, probably to like some mental health, some other things. I believe his family was from like the Norfolk area. So I think maybe part of the reason he wanted to stay at JMU for as long as he did was because he was closer to home. And now he's maybe a little bit more freed up to go other places. I don't exactly know. Right. He would have to explain that. But it's like, we don't know. I think that's the thing that bothers me. It's like, you don't know his situation. You don't know what he's going through. So don't trash him. Cignetti tampering. I don't know how much he really tampered. I think his guys wanted to play Power Five and get an NIL bag to be like, I don't think he had to tamper to be like, hey, you can play for me. We're going to do the same thing. But instead of Georgia State road games, you're going to play at Ohio State. Like, that's cooler. Get out of your, like, take the purple glasses off. That's cooler. And then the final thing that drives me crazy is Indiana fans will be like, oh, nice, we got Tyreek Tucker. And JMU fans will be like, huh, you guys have to tamper and take it from a program that was barely out of the FCS, this little old G5. You're the same people during the season that are like, we belong in the playoff. We deserve access to the New Year's Six. We are monsters. The standard is the standard. And then when Indiana fans are like, oh, nice, we got a JMU player. You're like, oh, yeah, JMU player. We suck. We're small. What are you talking about? Some of the people, man, on the internet are just idiots.
These are the same people that say a lot of crazy stuff to us and say some insane things.
It's just so weird to like have Jacob Dobbs come and be like, Jacob Dobbs, the class of college athletics, the nicest guy in the world, who clearly fought his coach because he loves his coach. And I know he was like out of eligibility, but what if Chesney took an assistant coaching job in the NFL? Guess where Jacob Dobbs is not playing, right? JMU. So you got him because
he's probably in the NFL draft.
Yeah, you got him because he knows the coach. Same with Patrick McMurtry, who's probably going to be a really good offensive tackle. Same with Spence, who's probably starting at corner. They've got Purdy that they can use on special teams, and it's like a backup running back or whatever out of the backfield in the slot. He can basically fill the Van Horst role that's now open. I don't know. Like, it goes both ways. And to be like so excited about getting that player and then being like, mean old Cignetti players want to go play for their old coach. What a bunch of sickos. Listen to yourselves.
Also, Tyreek Tucker, there were some things. There are a few other things with him. Like, he may have been buried on the depth chart. We thought he was really good and he could be very good. But also, depending, Terry Lockett, a Syracuse P5 transfer, came in. Emmanuel Bush is getting glowing reviews from head coach Robert Chesney. Very well, Tyreek Tucker could have been defensive tackle 3 or 4 and wasn't going to get the amount of PT he was expecting / wanting. There was also a very interesting interview like a week before the spring game where he was asked by Corey Spector, in-house JMU media, how are things going? Like a very, not necessarily pre-planned, but like, Corey's going to ask softball questions. And the answer was, it's interesting. So I admit, so there's just so many facets. And like Bennett said, we truly don't know. And at the end of the day, as Bennett is frozen here, NFL is the goal. NFL is what everyone's working towards. And JMU didn't have anyone drafted. Granted, I'll say this, neither did Indiana. However, the difference in the eyeballs and the exposure and everything that you're getting at the Big Ten level is just astronomically greater than what you're getting at the Sun Belt level. The Sun Belt had six total players drafted. Six. I can count them on one hand plus quickly on another. If I had six fingers on one hand, I can count them on one. That's all the Sun Belt got. The Big Ten had the second most draft picks with 42. 42 guys was drafted out of the Big Ten. That's why, I mean, even if you're going to Indiana, this historic doormat, if you put up good numbers, you're more likely to get a last second shot. You're most likely to get, you know, a day three chance coming from Indiana where you put up 10 sacks, where Jalen Green didn't get a single shot and he's still currently undrafted. Jordan Travis out of the ACC, one of the worst quarterbacks in the Atlantic Coast Conference a year ago. He was drafted and he may not have a right leg. But Jalen Green.
Guy's a dog.
I'm trying to. No, he's not. But like Jalen Green doesn't even get a day three shot, doesn't even get signed as an undrafted free agent because he blew out his ACL. And he had 20 sacks. Jamari Cromot didn't get drafted. He signed as an undrafted free agent. If he put up those numbers, if he put up half those numbers at Indiana, he's being a round six draft pick. And Phoenix Sproles didn't get drafted, is still not signed. If he did what he did at Indiana, he's a day three draft pick.
Chroma put up, he goes to like the East-West Shrine Bowl and was solid. His pro day numbers, he ran like a 4.77 at like 280 pounds, basically. He's a beast, started his career at a power five, doesn't get drafted. They haven't had a guy drafted since DiNucci in 2020. And people are like, you can go pro here. Oh, why would you leave? Why would you leave? Like, there's so many reasons why somebody would leave. It's way easier to go pro, not at JMU. And I think that's a bit legit thing for the program to break that cycle and send some guys. Yeah,
they got to break that. That is
a very send some guys to the league, man. Marshall's sending guys to the league. A lot of Sunbelt.
Holy Cross sent more guys to the league than JMU this one year through the draft than JMU has in 2020, 2021, 2022, and now 2023 and 2024 combined. Holy Cross.
Got to send some guys. I think Chesney will help with that. But again, with the portal stuff, it is tough. They're going to have some guys who like were former Dukes, right? Wells will get there and some others. But it's like you'd ideally love to send some guys straight from your program. And then if there's somebody who's going into their senior year and you're giving them a little NIL money and they're like, I'm not sure if I want to leave. Like, I like it here. And you can be like, yeah, you can go pro here. Like one more healthy year and you'll go get a paycheck. Like, through JMU, they haven't proven that they can do that consistently the last few years, even with the FBS move. So I think that's a legit thing they've got to prove.
Dylan Morris is going to break that trend. When Dylan Morris is the Sun Belt Player of the Year, he is going to be a round three draft pick.
You know who really might break the trend?
Who?
Our boy Dobbs.
He might, yeah. And I really can't productive. Wait. Can't wait for us specifically on Twitter when he gets drafted. Yeah, Jukes in the post.
We molded him.
We'll do that on our Twitter. You come back in a year. We will definitely be hyping him up as a JMU built. Hell yeah.
But I'm also claiming Wells, right? I'm claiming all of them.
I'm claiming D'Angelo. I know he played here one year, but Antoine Wells at least played two, I think.
Yeah. Also, after the coaching change, like scheme changes, coaching changes for a guy like Tucker, especially, they fit pretty well in like what they're doing defensively there, that scheme. So, might want to play for Pat Coons again.
Nova said Io Adeyi has an outside chance of getting drafted with a great season. Yeah, he does. I mean, I'm trying to think of other Cam Ross maybe has a chance.
I did my little like way too early some guys. I think I had Ross, Adeyi, and, your guy Morris, and then Dobbs, and then I put some other names. They've got plenty of guys who, like, if you have a really good year, and then the important thing that I think people overlook a lot, like, you got to test well,
like, especially from schools like JMU.
Yes, you're a G5. Like, I think Sproles was saying it was windy on the pro day, and he struggled with the 40, he ran like a 4.6 or 4.7. Like, that's gonna hurt you, right? If you're a receiver, so that's the kind of stuff that if you go out and you can run a great number, put up great explosive numbers, it changes a lot.
Well, even Quinyon Mitchell, and two Quinyon Mitchell references in one JMU Sports News podcast.
Mitchell, man.
The only reason he was considered, not everyone, he wasn't a consensus CB1. The only reason he was a CB1 or two along with Terrion Arnold was because of what he did at the Senior Bowl. It wasn't the fact that he was the best defensive back in the MAC for what, let's say 2 years in a row, not allowing anyone to throw towards him. No, they were like, well, that's lesser competition. And at the, we would have a better one-to-one comparison at the Power Five level. But what he did against Marvin Harrison Jr. at the Senior Bowl is why he's cornerback one. That's just the type of BS that Group of Five teams and schools have to like go up against, where when you go to Indiana, you don't have that.
Jimmy Moreland was like locking down Hunter Renfrow, like after he had that incredible college career with like the clutchest catches ever at like the Senior Bowl. It was cooking. I was like, wow, this Moreland kid, seventh round. He balled out, goes in the seventh round, and then has like a, you know, a few years in the NFL. I guess he's still bouncing around. But like, it's hard to make an NFL roster. I don't think people realize how hard it is to get drafted, make a roster. Like, you got to play well, you got to test well, and then when you get there, like because they're trying to find guys. Like, if you play offensive guard, like, they want you to lock up Aaron Donald, right? Like, you're retired now, but like, you have to go against way better. It's way different than like a coastal backup D tackle that you're going to manhandle. Like, you got to be able to hold your own against elite freaks.
Yeah, and you mentioned this earlier. Something that isn't, I forgot my point. Oh, you mentioned it earlier. JMU has done a really good job at finding these lower level FCS guys, maybe guys that don't get a lot of PT at a higher up P5. They bring them in. Eric O'Neill, Terry Lockett, two guys on the defensive line kind of come to mind with that. There could be potential contracts on the horizon where if JMU starts to do really well at that, you can find those lower end guys, lock them in for 2 or 3 years or 4 years on a contract. And that could be the way that JMU stays competitive in the overall national landscape.
Yeah. Like, Surratt is just, from what I had read, doing very well at Indiana, had a nice spring game, and just seems like all reliable again in the Big Ten now. Like, the fact that he was at St. Francis was absurd.
And he's going to be one of the best Big Ten receivers. The fact that Antoine Wells was in the FCS and is arguably one of the top receivers in the SEC is just so insane. So insane. All right. Anything else you want to talk about life with G5 transfer stuff? That was just kind of my vent sesh. I don't know about
you. I think football is actually going to be really interesting to see what they do, because they also had a number of guys who probably weren't really going to play that enter the portal. So they've got a decent number of scholarships to work with here. So Chesney can go get some guys. I think they have some visits coming up in May. You don't necessarily need to rush it, but they're going to add some guys in the portal I think are capable of contributing. But I think by the time the portal cycle ends here in the spring, pretty solid chance they actually improve the roster and still look like a college football playoff contender out of the Group of Five.
Yeah, I think they still are college football playoff contender. I don't think it's changed that much. All right. For our next segment,
yes,
introducing a new segment. Have you seen this on social media?
No, I saw this on the outline.
Well, yeah, of course.
Is this on TikTok?
Where all the kids are, where you're not. Blind rankings. So okay. I'm going to give you, typically it's five, but I'm going to go six because I couldn't whittle it down. Not blind, literally. I have the names in front of me. I'm going to list off the six names one by one. You have to tell me after each name I list if they're number one, number two, number three, four, five, six. You get it? You get it?
Yeah, I have to write it in my notes app so that I can track what I'm saying.
Okay, so quarterback number one, JMU former quarterback edition.
Don't use the notes.
Is that what caused you to freeze?
I'm worried it did because I went to a hot spot.
So, blind rankings, former JMU quarterback edition. Bennett, quarterback number one, one through six, Vadley.
Oh, no. Okay. Two.
Wow. Justin Riscotti.
Six.
Wow. The hate. This one's going to give you a tough one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Rodney
I ruined it.
Landers.
I already butchered it. Some people are going to get really mad. Three.
Oh! All right, so you got Vad Lee at two, Rodney Landers at three, and Justin Riscotti at six.
I was trying to think ahead, and I didn't do a good job. DiNucci. You could screw me here with some like old school scrubs.
Ben DiNucci.
Five.
The Hate. You got two left.
Yeah.
Brian Shore.
Brian's going to go at one for me.
That's the correct answer. Based off of my very advanced mathematical formulation, Brian Shore is the greatest quarterback in JMU history. Cole Johnson.
Oh. Man, I probably should have put DiNucci at four. We'll put Cole Johnson at four, stuck around, loyal player. That's not the worst. I think Landers outside the top two is probably tough for some fans. That's tough for some fans to swallow. I do think Vad Lee gets kind of a tough rap because his defenses were trash. Like what he was doing out there was nuts.
That's a great point. Vad Lee was like, I mean, I think he's still the only person in college football history to have 250 passing yards and 215 rushing yards in the same game.
He did it against SMU too. FBS team. But it's like if Brian played with Vad's defenses and Vad played with Brian's defenses, I don't think we're Brian's not one.
It's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like,
love you, Brian.
Pure dynamic plays. He was perfect for JMU at the time where he was just really solid, could scramble and create, but also like if he got 24 points in a game, he probably good enough by a lot.
And he would test the defense sometime. Brian Shore, that is. He would test the defenses. He had some bad interceptions, but overall he was exactly what Mike Houston wanted because Ben DiNucci was not what Mike Houston wanted. If we got 2 years of DiNucci under Kurt Cignetti, I think DiNucci might not be five on your list. So to recap your list, Brian Shore, number one, Vad Lee, number two, Rodney Landers, number three, Cole Johnson, number four, Ben DiNucci, five, and the Hate towards Justin Riscotti. He comes in at sixth.
I thought you were going to do Senteo over Cole in the list, so I would have had Senteo at four.
That's fair. I wanted, when I was making that, the idea was I had to get in your mind about who you would expect would be next.
Yeah, you did a good job. I'll get you next week.
I was gonna throw in Michael Birdsong just to be an absolute
like dick. Late,
just very late, like the last Birdsong. Fuck.
So that makes the kids look like dummies. French, sorry. That makes the kids look like dummies. That's the point of the blind rankings. Is you look like a fool at the end.
Yeah. So we'll do that every week with different position groups, historic JMU football players. Next week we might go running backs.
Yeah,
we might have a Cardon Johnson come back.
Legend.
So start doing your research now for running backs.
Okay.
All right. So that's it for football. We'll take it over to the diamond. Baseball, I mean, they're still sitting kind of in control of their own destiny. Not kind of. They're in control of their own destiny to make a regional.
Will you apologize?
Still no apology because it is not 100%.
That's crazy, man. They're locked. They're locked right now.
No apology. They're not locked. I'm pretty sure they're the first four out still.
They're locked. That was confusing to me because Baseball America has their bracketology, and that's had them out. And then you read Ted Cahill's Baseball America Bubble Watch, and he's like, they should be in. Just keep doing what you're doing. I'm like, one of you is not communicating with the other.
So they come in. They lost two of three against South Alabama. They came into yesterday's Georgetown game, which was a 13-12 marathon thriller because of some delay in the, I think a lightning delay where they couldn't resume until like the top of the sixth until like 9 p.m. A marathon of a game. They ended up pulling out. They got up to a 6-0 lead, Georgetown stormed back, and then they just kind of exchanged body blows until JMU won. Coming into that game, they had lost three of four after dropping a tough one to Maryland, but now getting back in the winning ways. Kind of the really eye-opening stat about this baseball team is that they're 7-14 away from Veterans Memorial Park and 18-4 at home. And I don't know if you know this. the Sun Belt baseball tournament and regionals are played away from home.
Yeah, it's tougher. It's tougher. But hey, taking care of business at home. The next seven are at home.
Next, yeah, I wrote eight before we were going to record yesterday before the Georgetown game. So now next seven are at home.
Against Arkansas State and Marshall, I believe both those series are very, very winnable.
Yes.
And then you got South Carolina upstate. No, that one was canceled. Sorry. So just six in a row. I forgot that was canceled.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know if – was that an RPI thing? Because I saw the NCAA came out and was like, don't do that. But they already canceled this one way in advance, which makes it hard to say that it's weather. So I don't know what the logic was for that. I'd be interested to hear if they end up getting burned on that a little bit. But
Aubrey Urbanowitz, the WHSV weather person, really gave him a heads up.
This is going to rain. Just don't come. But they've got Marshall and Arkansas State. Both those are winnable. And then huge four road games before going into the conference tournament against Virginia Tech. And then a series with Troy, three games with Troy.
If they can pull out one win in those four games and they do what they need to do what they've been doing all season at home, I think they're in.
Okay, so 10 games left. Six at home, four in a row. What are you thinking? 6-4, 5-5?
To finish out the year?
Yeah.
6-4, I think, is what you have to do to get in.
Yeah.
Preferably, though, maybe I'm getting too nitpicky here. You got to win one of those on the road.
I think if you can get, if you get one of, if you get two on the road and then you win like both the home series, I feel like you're cooking. If you could get a sweep in one of the home series, would be big. It gets very, very dicey, very, very fast.
You start losing
if you poop the bed at home, like you've come
very dicey. Because those are quad four games.
You've come so close to just getting it over the finish line, getting into a regional for the first time since 2011. You got to get through these home games.
So close. And if you get into the regional, maybe we bring on Marlon Eichenberg, and I apologize to him in person.
I'm making you send that request email. Can we have Eichenberry on the
phone? I got to apologize. Tail between my legs. But it's possible. Troy's a good team. Not great. Not world beater. If they can pick up that win at Virginia Tech and sweep the season series against Tech in those midweeks. Oh, boy. That's a Virginia Tech team that was ranked. They're flirting with the top 25. That would be a massive RPI win.
Would be a bit of a gut punch, to be honest with you, to position themselves the way they have now and not make a regional. Because their RPI is so good, like 28th, I think, today.
Yeah.
Moved up from 30th. Metrics are really good. They're like 4-7 against quad one, 4-7 against quad two. So they have way more like quad one and quad two victories than they did last year. They've done a nice job against 3-4. I mean, they have a good resume. You look at some of the wins, right? Even though there's only some of these where it's like they just got one of them, where it's like you did get one against Coastal. You did get one against Arkansas. There's some stuff. You got the Virginia Tech at home. There's some nice stuff there. If you can just finish it out, that'd be cool. And they're also kind of getting away with some stuff, which is nice, where I don't believe they've won a Sun Belt road series, but I also they think they've avoided a sweep in all of them. I think they've taken like one of three in every Sun Belt road series. So if you can do that again against Troy, very good. Good job.
There was an ODU fan in our mentions, kind of like, how is their RPI so high? They've played Fairfield in Niagara, like all and like listed all of our bad teams. And I responded and I was like, yeah, they've also like beaten Arkansas and Coastal and Virginia Tech and like have all of these quad one and two games. And the guy was just like, but they play bad teams. And I was like, oh.
Their strength of schedule is like top 20 national.
That's what I said too. And he was like, how is that possible? That's wrong. And I'm like, it's really not. I'm getting this straight off of Warren Nolan.
Yeah, they've got some tough games in there. They don't really have horrible losses. So they positioned themselves so well, which I did not think they were going to do. We're eating our words a little bit. But if they fall short, the whole thing.
You can't jump on and off and on and off my hate bandwagon.
I'm middle of the road guy. No, look, I didn't think they were going to be good this year. I had major doubts. But if they make a regional, that's what we've been talking about the whole time.
Do you extend Eichenberry to a lifetime contract if they win a regional?
I give
Is this the Kevin Keats thing?
Oh, yeah. Is he the Kevin Keats? If they go on a deep run, Omaha.
I mean, you got to extend him for life.
Yeah.
We need to FOIA his contract to see if he wins a regional game, does he get a year added onto his contract?
Like the Cignetti thing they had. Like this.
Yeah. All right. Diamond and Dukes.
Game sponsor for the Marshall series is Pepsi.
No free ads. Pepsi, if you want to advertise, our emails jmusportsnews@gmail.com.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I would be guzzling Pepsis on this.
Don't you have a connection at Pepsi?
I'll reach out to see what I can do. Hey, Dad.
Softball is eh. On that note, to finish up the Diamond Dukes.
Yeah, they were on an 8-game winning streak, and then they got swept by like Georgia Southern team on the road. I was a little disappointed with that one because they were going in hot. I think Coastal stinks. That could be totally wrong. I don't think Coastal is very good. So they play them to finish the year at home. Definitely winnable. And then they go into the conference tournament, which is just going to be hard to win. So I don't think they're a regional team, but not a terrible year. They're, again, very good at home, 17-3, but they are 12-16 in games not at home. So I think that'll be the next step for that young team to take.
And last but certainly, well, we got listener questions after this. Lacrosse.
Oh, yeah.
Preparing for some postseason action. A-Sun. I said A-Sun a lot during the Queens Coaches Show. AAC postseason tournament.
That's right for Queens, though?
Hmm?
That's where Queens, they're in the A-Sun.
They're in the A-Sun. Yeah. Their star player.
You were just saying A-Sun, and they're like, what are you talking about?
Their star player for Queens, Kayleen Favreau. Just won A-Sun Conference Player of the Year.
That's huge.
In case you were curious.
That's really big. Is she thinking about going to the portal?
Isabella Peterson is much better than her, though.
Fair enough. So, yeah, the Dukes have struggled against ranked teams, which we've said. Old Dominion, thankfully, in this last game, is not a ranked team. If you won that one, 18-9.
All the ranked games, though, were away. Except for the UNC win, right?
Yeah, UNC was, that was at home. So then, so they're undefeated at home and neutral. They've only lost true road games. So they got that going for them. And they play Temple. Temple, it starts tomorrow.
Starts tomorrow against number 3-seeded Temple. Earlier this year, they beat Temple 14-10 at home. This will be in Nashville, Tennessee at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, so hopefully Byington gets out and watches this one and has a chance to support. It'd be nice to see that. And then the championship game, I guess you're probably getting Florida, right? You can make that assumption.
Yeah, you can make that. That's a fair assumption. You also already have an at-large. JMU's an at-large team. You don't have to win the American.
Are they locked in? Isn't it a baby field?
Oh, is it like field hockey?
I thought it was a baby field.
Well, they got an at-large last year.
This is where Dom, we're going to get it. Let me look it up because we're going to get a text from Dom at 8 a.m. That's like, you guys are idiots. Lacrosse bracket 2023, and I'll just count. Yeah, it's tiny. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I love 2023. It's like 30 something. Or
but they were in it last year as a at large.
I thought they were good. I thought they were seeded last year, though. They're ranked like 17th right now or something, but they should be in, you're right. But their rankings are sliding, which is a bit of a sad thing. The RPI, 19th. North Carolina, 18. North Carolina's 10-6.
Yeah. So fingers crossed. Just got to beat Temple. Got to beat Florida. Florida was ranked 9th. It was a 15-7 loss against the Gators in Gainesville back on April 13th. Dukes will have a chance at revenge on a neutral field. So that'll be a good one, assuming Florida does what they need to do.
Yeah, hung in that first meeting.
JMU does what he needs to do. Sorry.
Until the end. They were 4-4 at halftime, and then they were outscored 7-1 in the fourth quarter of that one.
Yikes. All right.
We'll wrap things up. Listener questions.
That was a great lower third read, man. You're learning.
Funny part is that I had pulled up my other tab and was looking for listener questions. So I'm not even learning. I just got really fortunate.
All right, this is from our boy Daniel Merriman. Do you think JMU is going to move up to the supposed Super League that will pay athletes?
I don't know. I thought somebody might ask that to our boy
Matt Roan,
but there wasn't a ton on that. I don't know. It kind of depends how big the Super League is, right?
Yeah.
And like depends if it's 30 teams, no. But if it's like 70 or 80 teams, I think they are probably pushing very, very hard to be in it.
Yeah. Ben Hofer, Hofer. I never know. I get so in my head about
it's Hofer. I always think it's Hofer, but
I always text him about it. Jalen Green update. Very funny that he's the one that asked this when he's the one supplying the information. Jalen Green, essentially, I believe this was also posted in JMU Nation, the Facebook group. Jalen Green essentially is waiting to become healthy again. So he's doing a bunch of really hardcore, cutting edge, state of the art rehab on his ACL per sources. Working real hard to get back healthy. He has a few teams. I believe he said three teams that are keeping in contact with him, talking with his agent. But until he's fully healthy, he will not be signing a contract until he can pass a physical.
That's what it sounded like. Yeah, I think people want to get him cleared and then
he'll, and see him do workouts.
And then he'll have his chances, yeah.
So, be interesting to see how quickly he gets back on the football field. Billy Matthews Jr., the void from Ponds and Tucker is tough. But is Spivey really the real deal we heard from the spring game? And any word on the transfer cornerbacks that Bob's looking at? Any of those guys favoring JMU?
I don't know. He's got some, I think there were some visits coming on like, it was next weekend, maybe. But anyway, I think they're going to look at some guys. They're definitely going to add some guys. They were offering some corners. I think one of them was like Jordan Dunbar, who played in the AAC. They had offered somebody else. I can't remember now. But they're looking at multiple corners, which is good. I imagine they'll get at least a corner. They have a decent amount because they have like 8 or 10 guys in the portal to offer. So they have some legitimate options for guys to look at.
Yeah. So I think they won't fill the entire void that D'Angelo Ponds leaves, but they will fill it enough to be contending still in the Sun Belt. And for Tucker, we talked about it at length a little bit earlier. I don't know how big of a void he necessarily leaves, not in like a rude way, but just on how things shook out. Andrew, what was that?
They have some options. They also have some nice young defensive tackles. Yeah.
And Evan Spivey, that was another part of that question. Is he really the real deal? Redshirt freshman, didn't play at all last year. Redshirted, worked, didn't transfer out. Seems to be getting a lot of love from a lot of players. And Daniel Merriman, I believe, was really high on him too.
And he's a little bigger than Reagan and Flo. He's 6 feet, like 190. The other guys are probably still working to add a little muscle to their frames because they've been there for a shorter period of time. So that's something that's interesting to consider for like August when the season's starting. Maybe it helps to have Jacob Thomas and Spivey because they both have pretty legit size.
Yeah. This is from Andrew @_notJimmyFallon. Thank you so much, Andrew, because based on your profile picture on Twitter, I did think you were Jimmy Fallon. So your @ really helped.
Jimmy was a listener.
Are the best teams in the group of five going to be teams with all – this was an interesting question.
Yes.
Are they going to be teams with all around fairly decent players but few stars of high caliber so they can keep some consistency and develop as a unit? Or they're just going to be young units that gel for a year in peace? This is an interesting question because we've seen this kind of in college basketball. There used to be the era of one and done. It wouldn't be so much – the one and done, but it would be the one and go to the power five. So the question is, do you think it's going to be that? Or do you think they're going to go for teams that are maybe not reaching their ceiling, but they have a really high floor that they can keep together for 2 or 3 years?
My answer to this would suck because it's kind of like a little bit of both. I feel like if you can have
middle road,
but that's kind of what it feels like, right? Is like a blend where like adding Dobbs, obviously, he's a little bit different than like a power five one and done, but like the guys they added in the portal, like Eric O'Neill from Long Island, could easily be a 1 year and then go to the power five. They have other guys who sort of fit that bill. Dylan Williams, a receiver, might be 1 year, go to the power five. Cam Ross is just going to be there for 1 year and then go pro or whatever from UConn. But then they also have returners who are good players. Like they got Torrance Jones to come back in part probably because he was injured. Emmanuel Bush apparently had a really good spring coming back, and he was a previous transfer, but it'll be his second season. A lot of guys on the offensive line have been around for a while, like Tyshawn Wyatt, right? Chauncey Logan's coming back. You think you just need to be really good, which is, again, kind of a dumb answer. But like, if you're very good, I don't think it matters how you get there in football as much, because I feel like in basketball, the cohesion, the flow that you have, it really helps with like getting an offensive rhythm. In football, there's an element of literally just being like bigger, faster, stronger, where you can really just overwhelm people more than any other like college sport. And it feels like if you're good and large and athletic, regardless of how they got there, you're probably okay.
I think your answer kind of says the first one. Because the question is all around fairly decent players with a few stars of high caliber. I think that's kind of how you answered it. All around decent, all around good, guys that can grow, guys that can keep that cohesion. But then you sprinkle in a D'Angelo Pons, you sprinkle in an Eric O'Neal, you sprinkle in an Elijah Surratt in the case of last year. You sprinkle in these one and done guys. So I think kind of Andrew's question was almost a middling question where it was like, do they do this or do they just like go all in with a bunch of great talent? I don't think JMU will ever be pulling in high school talent because those 4- and 5-star guys are going P5. So I think you will be building it from a place of fairly decent players to good players with a few 1 or 2 greats that then leave after a year.
Yeah. And if you can hit on like some
Elijah Surratt every year,
that's what you were talking about, right? Those like find those gems. If you can do that, man, it makes it pretty scary. Because Surratt, you put him in a game against a quality team, he's gonna still stand out.
God, if you sign contract, you get Surratt in the door for 2 years, man. The second year with him with Dylan Morris. Whew.
Well, and even if they had kept Cignetti and like gotten close to running it back, which they might have, team would have been nuts.
That would have been insane. Man, if only JMU fan. Transfer portal. No question mark.
No, I'll let you answer this one.
Yes. It's a thing. Depressed Duke dog. Do you think Abi Okonjo, let's not leave out Nwabuku.
Yes.
Well, I hope I'm pronouncing it right because I'm really planting my flag on that. Will he be an impact player this year? He certainly had the hype barring past injuries. I think the hype that you're referring to Depressed Duke Dog is Bennett and I on this podcast every year going, he's from Minnesota. He's a Power 5 transfer. He's bound to make an impact. He didn't. Played with some injuries, was battling some injuries. Last year was supposed to be his breakout along that line with Jalen Green and Jamari Croma. Against like Bucknell on like the first drive, tore his ACL.
Yo, that game broke my soul. It was like subpar quarterback play. Van Horst got hurt again, and Nwabuku Okonjo, and I was like, those are my guys. What is happening? And that was right before I came and was like, look, if they're starting Barnett, he's the best quarterback in the country. What a just a brutal week one for me.
I think he has the potential to be a really strong contributor. I think with so many injuries, though, it's going to be hard for him to have like a breakout, amazing 15 sack type of year. He might flirt with 10 sacks because he's playing alongside some really good guys like Emmanuel Bush, Terry Lockett, and Eric O'Neal. So yeah, he's not going to be getting double teamed a lot. So he'll have his chances, but I just think it's hard coming back off of what he's been through in his collegiate career.
Yeah, it depends a lot on health. That's a good
point. So much on health. Zachary Baker, who are y'all's favorite potential portal ads for football and men's basketball besides Mark Freeman? Potential transfer portal ads. Besides Mark Freeman.
Mark Freeman. It's a great question. I will say broadly, because I have not done a ton of digging on like corners who are in the portal. And I feel like the spring guys, again, they're not posting their offers at the same level I would like to see. I'll throw one out here. I think his name's like Jamoy Mines or I'll throw it out and then I make it sound like a Star Trek character. Jamoy Mays,
Willie Mays?
Jamoy. It's like Jamoyes. But anyway, he was at
what? That's not a name.
He was at, well, like, that was the last name. I didn't do this.
Oh.
Jamoy is his first name. This is his last name. He's a receiver who cooked at Chattanooga. He was like top 10 in the FCS receiving yard. Spent the spring at UAB and then is back in the portal.
We don't want him. None of those quitters.
Don't know exactly why, but he'd be a fun one. Not that they really need a lot of help at receiver, but he was a name that I was interested in the winter.
I don't really know. A cornerback would be great.
Chris Sheeran, a UConn corner.
Men's basketball, I want Mark Freeman. It's Mark Freeman or bust for me. I want Mark Freeman on this Dukes team. Can I throw a name out at you to see if maybe he'll make an impact this year?
Okay.
Travelle Mullen.
Oh man, it's time. It's time for Mullen to shine,
right? What about? Yeah, I was looking up guys, Antoine Booth and Nekhai Meredith, the guys that we always are like, they've got to be left, good. Right? Meredith is no longer there.
Yeah, he left.
So it's Antoine Booth and Travelle Mullen.
Yeah. And then, okay, so I will say Chris Sheeran's been in the portal. I put his notifications on in the winter and forgot to turn them off. He's a corner from UConn. He's retweeting his film basically daily. He's from Virginia, started his career at Missouri, and then he played a bunch of games for 24 games for UConn the last 2 years. During that time, he combined to have 13 pass breakups, 4 interceptions, and 82 tackles. Would definitely add some nice secondary depth if they are looking. So,
like it.
But also, he can retweet his film daily, so I don't know. I don't know what his looks are like right now.
Jack Foster with the final question. What seed do you think the baseball team gets and why? I think they're not getting a seed. So baseball doesn't do it. And apologies if this is already known, but like baseball doesn't do, like, they're not going to be seeded.
They'll be like the third, like a 12 seed in a region. Yeah. You would just, it's like 4-team little bubbles.
Yeah, so I think they'll be the third or fourth team, kind of like how JMU softball was on their Women's College World Series run. They'll be an unseeded team, probably the third best team in a region.
I'd love to see them stuck in, like, Virginia's region. That'd be cool just for travel purposes.
Virginia Tech's region, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
If Virginia Tech gets a regional, which they might if they go get just, like, red hot to finish out the year, but...
UVA would be cool. Sometimes UVA can't pitch either. They've been winning some games like 17-14, and I feel like JMU would be down to do that.
So with college baseball, the top – how many seeds host a regional?
16.
Top 16, and then of those 16, the top 8 host a super.
Yeah.
And then you go to the College World Series.
Yeah, Dom will be proud.
Then we got that right?
Yeah, he probably won't actually be proud. He'll be like, you guys hesitated on that one.
He'll respond, you guys call yourself Jamie Sports News? Jesus.
Oh, those are my favorite texts the day after the podcast. He's just like, oh, we got some names here.
Nova for corners. This is going back to Zach.
Whoa, popped in with predictions.
Right. You got to read the whole thing if you're going to do that.
I thought you were going to keep going. I just got so excited.
Go ahead.
Okay, for corners, I love. Well, you're trying to make me pronounce these names. Kakura Tarnu from Jacksonville State and Amir Hall from Albany popped up in the On3 portal wire with predictions to JMU. Let me look them up.
And so, we'll see
what we like.
Albany also produced Jared Verse, first round draft pick.
What was the Albany? Amir Hall.
Amir Hall, AAMIR Hall.
Oh, I've already been on his page before. What a sicko move. Oh, he started his career at Richmond.
Yeah.
He's from Baltimore. Yeah, he's got he's got a dog in him. Wow.
Are you saying that only because he's from Baltimore?
No, he had 4 interceptions, including a pick 6 last year, 13 pass breakups.
Okay, you just said he's a dog right after you said Baltimore and nothing else.
6-1-2. I saw that he had 4 picks for a touchdown. Forced a fumble at Virginia when he played at Richmond. Yeah, okay. Stud. All right, so we're. Can I name him? No, Deep End was because of the last name. It wasn't just a random thing. Sorry. Let's see if I can translate it.
What a take.
Jacksonville State has gotten rid of Kakura Tarnu's page. Those freaks.
Those already? Freaks. Damn. All right.
Oh, he's hold on. Dog, 53 tackles this last year, 3 interceptions, 4 pass breakups. He played against South Carolina in the game against South Carolina. He had a season high for him. 9 tackles in that game, which might mean that he got picked on a corner, but that's good to see.
Bennett, this one's for you. You got to read this one out loud.
Amir's tape is nuts. Good take from Bennett. Yeah, man, I'm going to start watching his tape after this.
All right. Anything else you got to add?
That's huge. On three wire says that we've got 2 corners. Portal giveth. College athletics is here to stay, folks. It is not broken.
All right, for Bennett Conlon, I'm Jack Fitzpatrick. Thank you so much for tuning into the JMU Sports News Podcast presented by Bet Online. We'll be back next week with more Portal Breakdown, with more random musings. In the meantime, like, rate, subscribe the podcast wherever you listen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever it may be. You can find us across all socials at JMU Sports News. Drop us a follow, whatever it may be. And you can shoot us an email with any of your thoughts about JMU Sports at JMU, or I guess there's no at in a email address, JMUSportsNews@gmail.com. See you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.